To read today out of the book of Haggai, so you can turn over there. Go to Matthew and turn left. So Haggai is a time for God's people when they were exiled to Babylon. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. And then after captivity, they actually got a really amazing mission contribution. The Persians said, hey, you go back and rebuild, and we're actually going to pay for everything. They had an unlimited budget. And it was like, we're going to make sure you got all the support you need. You go back and rebuild Jerusalem, and you rebuild that temple, and you make it awesome. Well, Haggai chapter 1, and it's always good to put things in context, and they say, you know, in this year of this king, and you know, as a young Christian, I was like, well, let's just skip all that and get to the real part of the Bible, but they tell you those details so you can figure out what's going on. So at that point, God's people are saying it's not yet time for the Lord's house to be rebuilt. And God took issue with that way of thinking, and he said, is this a time for you to live in your paneled houses? Why, my house remains in ruin. And see, it's just a testimony that if you hang on to stuff long enough, even paneling on the wall, it will come back into style. Now, apparently they had to wait from Haggai to the 70s. But so if you're getting rid of your panel, you may have to wait a few centuries, but it will come back in. But that was status back then, to have paneling in your house. If you haven't done the math of this king and this year, you may not realize they'd been back in Jerusalem for 18 years, saying the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. They were commissioned. They had an expense account. They could do whatever they wanted. And after 18 years, they're still saying, no, not yet. We need to, you know, I need to get more of my own house in order before I'm going to be in a position to really do the work that God calls me to. And so chapter 1 was a callback to get focused back on building God's temple. And the Bible responds, or records that they obeyed. The remnant responded to Haggai the prophet, and they got to work. And, you know, so the work is now getting done. But we're going to pick it up in chapter 2. So now the work is being done. And in verse of chapter 2, verse 3, it says, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all the people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Point number one is this question. If you're going to have a faithful future and you're evaluating what's going on, here's point number one. Here's the question that God asked the people and God asks you. How does it look to you now? You know, depending on what you're going through in life, you have a different answer to what your future looks like. You know, our grandson Hunter is 8. He loves baseball, and he is convinced that he is going to be the next Clayton Kershaw. You know, I remember when my sons thought they were going to play in the NBA, and they're tall. They're both 6'4". But I had to apologize to him, and I said, well, I gave you good math ability and good hand-eye coordination, but I also passed on my genes of not being able to jump. Sorry. But you know, when you're young, you're optimistic and you're idealistic, and you think, this is the way life is going to unfold, and this is what God is going to do with my Christianity, and this is the way things are going to be, and it's just going to be one victory after another after another. And then things happen in life. And sometimes those difficult why questions that go unanswered are presented. And you're saying, why? And I don't understand. And if God is with me, then why? 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 Why is this hard? Why did this happen? What about this situation? And I don't get it. And all of a sudden, our answer to how our future looks is different. Right. You see, for God's people, you had some of them that were old enough that they had seen Solomon's temple. Then you had the younger ones that all they knew was what was rebuilt. So you've got this real mixture of emotions, because you got the young that are like, this is awesome, and the old ones are going, man, this is a cheesy temple. This is nothing like the one Solomon built. You know, the good old days, the way the church used to be. And the young are going, well, I think it's pretty awesome. So you got joy and you got sorrow, and that's when the question comes, where God says, how does it look to you now? Every single one of us has to answer that question. As a matter of fact, whether you verbalize it or not, you answer it every single day. You answer it in prayer, you answer it in faith, you answer it by what you think about, what you decide to do, how you engage. We answer that question every single day. Yeah, I find most people are kind of on the ends. They're either afraid of the future or really excited about the future. So how do you envision your connection to the church, to your family group, to the ministry that you're a part of? What is it that you think God wants to accomplish with your involvement? You know, I love seeing all the missions videos. A few weeks ago, we got to see the one from Turner and Lindsay from Lincoln, Nebraska. And, you know, just hearing all the great things that are going on there. Got to hear what's going on in Wichita. All the different videos of what's going on in Eurasia. And you go, oh, man, this is inspiring. This is exactly the kind of thing that I want to give to and participate in. See, God is never done. My favorite line from the Boston seminar was this. I don't even remember who the brother was. But he was talking about how we feel about God and how we factor him in. He says, God is not looking for a movement to join. God is doing just fine. The question is not if God is going to join us. The question is whether or not we're going to engage in what God is doing. So we get to point two, and there's another question. What's going to make the difference in your future? So often we limit what can happen in our future by what we think, by what we can envision, by our own limitations. And you know what God answered his people? He said, I am with you. He said, that is the difference maker. And then while they're sitting there looking at the temple, he says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. God says, do not make the mistake by evaluating your future on the wrong elements. Because God says, when you look at my gold and my silver, he goes, you're going to draw a different conclusion that if you're looking at how square the beams are in the rebuilt temple. He said, what's going to make this temple amazing is what I bring to the table. And God is not limited by our faults, our sins, our weaknesses, because to God, you're the bride of Christ, just the way you are. God is what will make the difference. You know, it was pretty cool when Cheryl and I were in Boston. We ran into she's young, but she's an old friend, Katie Arsenal. And when we first got to meet Katie, her last name was Edelman, and she was a brand new freshman at Boston College. Sorry, Katie, if it was Boston University, I can't remember which one, but she was a freshman. She had just been baptized, and right after finals, a week later, she came home to Santa Clarita, California, which is where our ministry was. She looked up our ministry and came to church. She was a week or two old, brand new Christian, and she's home for the summer. Well, it wasn't just any summer, because her father had serious cancer and was in his final months. He would later pass away 3 months later in his 50s. He was an Emmy Award-winning sound engineer in the movie and TV industry. Is one of those that, you know, when they do the Academy Awards and then they have the whole thing of in memoriam and they show you the people that have passed away that day. Her father was that level. So here's a young, brand new baby Christian in a ministry that she did not know for the summer in her dad's final days of life. And we just did everything we could to wrap our arms around young Katie. You know, Katie went on to graduate, and she'd come home for the summer. COVID, she came home longer. And so she got to know a lot of relationships, but then Katie married Kai Arsenal. They went in the ministry together, and they have a son, and he's a cutie, so we got to meet him. But we said, Katie, what are you and Kai up to now? And she said, well, we've just moved to lead the church in Zagreb, Croatia. They were the main campus couple in Boston. The great trainer of leaders and thriving. And they said, we want to go serve in a unique way with the newborn. Croatian. I said, all I know is bok. That means hello in Croatian. That's all I knew because we had a Croatian disciple. But it's so fun to see all that God is doing with Katie and her husband. And you know what? In a small way, we get to feel part of it. You know what we did? We just loved Katie. That's all we did. We didn't study the Bible with her. We didn't baptize her. But as a young Christian, we were just a place where we just loved Katie. And see, the thing with God is you never know what God is going to accomplish when you take the resources that you have and you do God's work. And so God keeps asking each one of us the question, how does your future look? So what answer are you giving? Final, third point is this question. How should we respond? Well, what did he tell him? You know, Joshua was the high priest. Zerubbabel was the governor of God's people. And you know what he told them? And he told the people, he said, be strong and work. You know, sometimes we believe that if we become a Christian, strength really won't be required because Christianity just makes life easy. I was so excited as a young Christian, and I couldn't wait to become an old Christian. Because I was like, ah, the old Christians. They're going to have Christianity so easy. They're going to know the answer to every question presented. They're going to have unlimited faith. I mean, what struggles would they possibly have as an older Christian? And now I'm an older Christian. You know, and now, you know, as an older Christian, you get your feelings hurt. So they say a huddle up prayer before the service. And they say, really excited to hear the young people. And you're like, share today. And then they say for communion and offering. And they don't say, and the sermon. I got excluded as an old guy. I'm still in my 50s. I've got over a year still. That's right. There's a hateful comment from this side of the audience. That's right. It's my crown of splendor. That's right. The Bible says. But God told Joshua and God told Zerubbabel and God told his people exactly the same thing that we need to hear. Be strong and work. I was so excited to become part of a church that didn't just require attendance. Because they wanted to do something. Like having a spiritual life just be about showing up is the lamest thing. You know, that's like an annual physical. You know, it's like maintenance. Maintenance is not exciting. Like going somewhere, doing something, that's what's exciting. And so to be a part of a church that wanted to work. I grew up in a church that if you just showed up on Sunday, everybody thought you were awesome. You didn't have to stay in fellowship. 5 minutes after church, the lights were off and people were in their cars. It was great. It required like no commitment. But God is so much more awesome than that. And he said, be strong and work. And then he said, do not fear. Notice God did not say, I will remove all potentially fearful causing situations. Unfortunately, that's where we're at sometimes theologically. Christianity, God is supposed to take anything that might make me afraid so that I can have the faith to do what he calls me to. No, God doesn't take it all away. He just says, don't be afraid. I am with you. And then a really cool passage where he says, once more I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. And we're going to go see where this is referred to. But go over to Hebrews 12. So, couple things. God says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. And he says, the glory of this temple is going to be greater. Now, there's a few different ways that you could look at what did he mean by greater. So here's a couple different ways you can think about greater. It was greater because this was the temple Jesus walked in. It was greater because this is the temple that in Acts 2, 3,000 people were baptized in front of it. But either way, he said, listen, I'm going to do something amazing. I'm going to shake the earth, and I'm going to shake the heavens. But he says, the glory of this temple is going to be greater. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 12, and he says this. Verse 26, at that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, Once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. That is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. The writer of Hebrews goes back to what Haggai was saying. And this is a group, Hebrews was written to Christians from a Jewish background that were contemplating going back to the old way of living. And the whole book is to encourage them, no, stay faithful, stay focused on Jesus. And at the end he goes, yeah, God's going to do some shaking. And sometimes the created things get shaken. But he says, you know what doesn't get shaken? His kingdom. And he said, how do we respond to that? He says, be thankful.
Yeah.
Worship God acceptably. That's an interesting word, acceptably. Yep. We'll hit that in a moment. With reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. This world will tell you that if you give God any attention at all, that he just gives you a big old bear hug because he's just fired up that you did something. The Bible says that there is an acceptable heart and attitude to worship God with. And it says gratitude, reverence, and awe. Now, reverence is fear, but it's relational. So sometimes when we say fear, we think that that's a distance from. It actually keeps us relationally connected. But we're not trivializing God Almighty. We're keeping him in his rightful place. The one that owns the gold and the silver that makes the temple awesome. You see, God really doesn't care how the electrons flow in Stansbury. You know, it's pretty amazing. We had Sunday services at Stansbury, even when without electricity. Isn't that amazing? Up in the kids' kingdom room. I mean, we can go to Hebrews 11, and right next to they worshiped caves and hole in the ground, and we can say, and in kids' kingdom rooms that did not have electricity. I mean, we should be in the great roll call of faith that we worship God under those severe circumstances. God does not care. Because he's bigger than all the circumstances. See, God has a faithful future in front of each one of us. But we have a choice. Because God had the same faithful future for his people when he sent them back to rebuild in Jerusalem. And after 18 years, they had missed the point and they were still saying, it's not time yet. I need to get one more thing in order, and then I'll be ready to do God's work. He said, no, now's the time.
All right.
And he goes, and I got good news. Each one of you is a part of it. There was a physical temple back then. Now it's a human one, temple of the Holy Spirit, and you're it. And so let's commit to a faithful future together. Let's not limit God by whatever our limitations are.
Amen.
God is so far beyond. Listen, we need to be strong and work and don't be afraid. But you know what? It's not us that makes it awesome. It's God that makes it awesome.
Amen.
And so let's worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. And so he may shake created things around us, but it doesn't matter because we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And if you need the most amazing visual aid of this, We are now going to see Dave become our new brother in Christ, because he's going to go receive the kingdom of God over there, and then we're going to close out in one final song. All right. So, Hadrian, take